Welcome to our after-hours segment, Conversations with the Producer, where myself, Adana Moriarty, the producer of Talking Book Publishing, continues the conversation with our guests, hitting them up for more juicy intel into the world of publishing. I hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Hey, Adana's back. And Kathleen's gone.
Yeah, she usually dips out for our section. So you guys covered a lot. I think that I have two areas that I would like to ask you questions on. One is, it's interesting because you and Kathleen were talking about kind of writing styles and pantser, which is sort of mm-hmm. how I write. But I've been thinking about it and I actually think I'm more of a hybrid, but, yes. I kind of wanted to ask you about your actual process. I mean, like, mm-hmm. you know, do you sit down and write every day? Well, let's start with that. Do you sit down and write every day?
I do write every day, no matter what I'm doing or where I am. I might write longer some days than, you know, than I do when I'm traveling, but I always make some time for writing, just as I make some time for reading. That's how I work. And I do consider this my job. It's how I pay the bills. And the uniqueness, of course, to being a writer is that there's no one who's going to make you write. You know, there's no boss. You either have to be self-motivated or it's not going to happen. So I have learned to, I get up early every morning. Although these days my cat usually wakes me up, so I couldn't sleep late if I wanted to, but I get up and feed the cat and water the flowers. And by 6 o'clock, I'm in my chair writing, and it varies how long it goes, but until I get done whatever I need to get done that day.
So, do you treat it like a work day? Like, I mean, do you like get up and you write, you take a lunch break and go back mm-hmm. to writing, or like you just kind of write until you're out of inspiration and then you do other things for the rest of the day? Like, what does that look like?
Well, that's not only true of writers. I think this is probably everybody who, I mean, when you're a writer, you're in effect self-employed, you know, you're running your own business. And because of that, and because I work at home, there are really no days off, if you know what I mean. There's no day, there's no day when I don't wake up and think, well, this is what I need to get done, this, and the other thing. And I'm not going to be happy if I don't do it. So I might as well just sit down and get it done so that I can and do something else. So yeah, write every day.
So, I guess like in your entire process, I mean, you know, like how long does it take you to write a book? I mean, let's start there.
You know, I've never timed myself, but, but if I did, it would be a number of hours, not days. 'Cause you know, you could theoretically write the same amount in 4 months as 2 years. It's just a matter of whether you're working consistently and how many hours a day you work. I don't really know how many hours it takes. I've had books that took a very long time to write. And I know there are some books I've done in about 4 months or so, but usually those are situations where I'm writing in a series and I know the characters and I'm not completely rewriting the what's that cliche? I'm not reinventing
the wheel.
Yes. So it's still not easy, but it's a little easier to get going and get in the groove.
So, before you start writing a book, I mean, do you sit down with like a piece of paper and plot it out? I mean, is that kind of what your process is? Because I'm going to go with you're not really a pantser.
I'm not really a pantser, but but it's not because I think one is superior to the other. I think you can do it either way. I just think you'll get there more expeditiously and the product will probably be better if you do some planning first. I think part of the reason, not true of you, I'm sure, but part of the reason some people don't outline is just because it sounds boring. You know, it sounds like work. It's like freshman English when the teacher made you do an outline and turn it in with Roman numerals and all that. And that's not what I do at all. But I do try and write out enough in the outline so that there's never a morning where, like I was saying, I get up and sit in my chair at six and I don't know what happens next. You know, novels are so big. It's easy to lose sight of the big picture. And since I've written a book about story structure, I'm aware that there are points you need to meet along the way. But it's pretty hit and miss unless you plan it out and write it down. Now, does that mean the outline never changes? Well, of course not. When you actually sit down and start writing those chapters, you'll come up with new and better ideas. I at least do. I'll change things or I'll come up with something in the course of the chapter and say, okay, when you wrote that, you basically just made a promise to the reader. So you know, you promise that this is going to be explained later, or this is going to pay off or come back around. There's going to be a callback. And so I put that in the outline to make sure that happens. Basically, every day I finish writing whatever I'm going to write, and then I go back to the outline and revise it to take into account what I've just done that day. So the outline is not a cage. It's a roadmap. And it's a fluid one. It's not one that's written in stone. It changes every day, literally.
I think that is part of why people probably shy away from outlining, because they think they're then locked into, you know, like I spent all this time on you know, kind of plotting out the story and it thwarts creativity. But I mean, it kind of sounds like for you, I mean, it gives you a reminder of where you need to go, but you also let the story take you through it.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that you can't write a novel by pantsing. I just think it's going to take longer. I think you're going to revise a lot more. And if that's what you want to do and you don't have any deadlines that you have to meet, then fine, go for it. But I would prefer to, and I haven't even in my experience found that that makes me more creative or makes the book better. In fact, I found just the opposite. I think you end up with a messy first draft where the ending doesn't really match the beginning, and you can fix that, but that's just going to take longer.
Yeah. I mean, like for me, I would say that when I sit down and write, I let the story take me, but I think about it all the time. You know, like I might not write it down on paper because I'm terrible at that, which is not advice that I am giving to anybody. Write it down if you have thoughts. But I think about it. And then when I feel inspired, I write. And I'm generally not as dedicated to my writing practice as I wish I was. It's hard. I mean, I can't just write because I have a job too. And I think, you know, do you think it's easier? I mean, for you, you've been writing a long time.
Right.
Now it's, I mean, that's it. Like if you don't get this done, you can't, you know, you're not getting paid.
Like this is true. I don't have a big trust fund and this is how I pay the bills and support the family. So, you know, I've got to take it seriously and I do.
I think one of the questions that, you know, or maybe not even a question, but like a lot of, you know, I think there's a split kind of mentality of, if you're a writer, you're going to be broke, or if you're a writer, you're going to be rich. Like, I mean, do you really think that like, you know, people can make a living as a writer?
Well, I mean, of course they do. Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time, and I know other people who have done it. I don't think there's a guarantee that you will, but I don't, you know, is there? I doubt if there's a guarantee in any field, and certainly not in any sector of the arts. You're also, when you decide to go into the arts, giving up any sense of stability. You know, people that you don't want to meet at parties will always try and find out how much money you're making. And I wouldn't even know how to answer that question if I were, because it's so, you know, up and down and some books sell better than others. And, you know, the best advice I can give people is save your money. Make sure you have at least enough to live on for a year in the bank before you give up that day job. And don't give up the day job until that point. I know too many people have also been like, I sold a book, I'll quit my day job. And I'm going, maybe not a good idea. You're jumping too soon.
Yeah. I guess going back into like kind of process, I mean, for you, you have a couple of series.
Five series, I think. But
do you have any books that aren't a series, like a standalone? Yeah,
lots of standalone books, about 10 or 12, I'm going to guess. I mentioned the historical novels, and I've done some standalone thriller. My most recent book, the one that's hovering over my head. I know we're doing this for audio, but you can see it. Plot and Counterplot.
I know.
August.
I just went and looked that up. it's Plot Counterplot. Right. So I guess like I'm curious, is do you feel like it's easier to write when you know you're going to write a series? Because you can kind of pull that character's arc over multiple books versus a standalone book where you kind of have to have that whole development, you know, in a shorter span.
Well,
or is it easier because that's that?
Yeah, I'm always hesitant to say anything is easier because writing is hard. I don't care what you do, writing is hard. And yes, if you're writing a character that you've written before, then you're not, like I was saying before, you're not starting from scratch. But that also create, at least in terms of character, but that also creates some more complications in other departments like plot, because you don't want to be writing the same story over and over again. What could be boring, more boring than that? And for that matter, the character needs to grow. So, yeah, you're writing a familiar character, probably a cast of characters, really. But you have to find a way to differentiate this book and make it stand on its own feet. And that can be challenging. You know, when it's the 18th or 19th Ben Kincaid book, you have to think, what have I not done with this guy before?
Yeah. I mean, I imagine, having never written a series, that writing a series is challenging for just that reason, that you have to, you know, even when you're writing a single book, you almost have to kind of think long-term too about like what your overall hopes are, goals are for a character. I mean, I feel like writing a series has got to be incredibly challenging.
Right. But it's also fun and readers like it, you know, and I probably shouldn't even say this, but it's true. When I started Plot Counterplot, I did it knowing I would probably sell more books if I wrote the fourth Kinsey Rivera book or the seventh Daniel Pike book. But I, as a writer, like to take a break occasionally and do something different. And that's why I wrote the book. But readers love series. And since I know some aspiring writers may be listening to this, this is why I'm speaking about series characters at 8:05, because creating a series is probably the best way to get published in today's publishing world. Publishers, including the Big Five, are very much looking for successful series, because from their standpoint, a good series is the closest thing they will ever get to a dependable bet, you know, a book that will probably sell at least as well as the last one, or more or less the same. And so publishers like them, and if publishers will pay for them, then writers like them, because readers love series. You know, if they become attached to the character, you're Ben Kincaid or whoever it is, then that's sort of plot insurance. People will look at the book and think, they might even think, you know, that plot doesn't really interest me, but I got to see what Ben is up to. I love Ben. And they end up buying the book anyway.
Huh. That's really interesting, because I know years ago I read an article or a blog post or something about Diana Gabaldon, who writes Outlander.
Right.
And she sold Outlander as a 3-book series in, in the 80s, which then you didn't, 80s, early 90s, maybe. I can't remember when the first one came out, but you didn't sell a series as an unknown author because that was a big leap for a publishing house to take kind of a bet on multiple books and make that deal and sign that contract. But you're saying in today's world, pitch the series.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was that different back then. I mean, there's a reason why both Diana and I got a three-book contract. That's the usual, that's the standard publisher bet. I mean, once they decide they're going to take a bet on your series, they usually offer three-book contracts on the theory that it might take three books to find your audience. But if you haven't found the audience at the end of three, then they're going to ditch you and move on to somebody else and try and do some different series.
Right. Well, I think that, I don't know. I can't even imagine trying to pitch a series. So I'm not that kind of writer. Yeah.
You still got to have the first book and you know, you're not going to sell a series premise. You've got to show that you can write. You've got to finish the first book. And that first book needs to be spectacular. It needs to be the best thing you've ever written. And that's what convinces the publisher to take a gamble on you. It is expensive to publish books, particularly at the big five level. Yeah. And so, and here's another statistic people might like, but it's true. 90% of what comes out of the big traditional publishers loses money. I mean, we saw statistics this year saying that out of the 50,000 odd new books published in the past year, only a sliver of them sold even 5,000 copies, which is, it's pathetic. It means the publisher is going to take a big loss.
Yeah.
And they depend on something in that other 10% to pay the bills. A problem is they can never predict what will work and will and what won't work, except with a series, because if the first five or six or whatever have sold well, odds are the seventh will too.
I saw some crazy statistic yesterday, and don't quote me because I'm not 100% sure the number is accurate, but it was something out of like 6,000 authors, aspiring authors, one makes it. And the 5,999 don't, like they don't sell books or they sell less than 200 or something like that. That, and that's not necessarily with the big five. It's like an overall statistic that, so, you know, it's hard to be a writer. It's hard.
Well, of course, authors have so many more options today than they did back in the 80s and 90s, which, you know, I'm always all about the author. So that I think that's a great thing. But once upon a time, self-publishing was a dead end. But now, thanks to the internet, it's a completely viable course that a lot of people have used to great success, not only sales, but critical attention for their books that came from small presses or that they just published themselves. Here's a more interesting statistic to me, that of all the people who talk about how they'd like to write a book, only about 10% of those will ever finish one. And so if you've actually finished a manuscript, you're already ahead of most of the people out there.
Yeah.
So don't give up.
I always tell people that. I mean, I'm a web designer and a publicist, like that's what I do. And so when I'm working and I mainly work with authors on their websites, and when I talk to people, you know, and they're concerned or whatever, I always tell them the fact that you finished a book, that you finished it, period, that it, you wrote it, you've revised it, you've edited it. It's gone in between a cover. You know, it's not just a manuscript. It has an ISBN. Like the fact that you did that it's amazing. It's amazing because it's so hard to do. And I think people have the dream and they give up because it is harder than they think. You know, it's hard to find the time to dedicate to sitting down to write every day, to read every day, to help further your creativity. You know, it's work. And when you're done with it, and you get to hold that book, it's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I really appreciate you spending a little extra time with me talking about your process when you put together books that you write. I'm excited to meet you in November. I'm definitely excited for your series character session. I think that's going to be really cool and, you know, really good information for people. So it's williambernhardt.com. If anybody's looking for him out there, do you have social media?
Oh, yeah. Come join my Facebook page or, you know, I'm on Twitter and the others too, but the one I'm most likely to post on any given day is Facebook. So join that.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again, and you have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, you too.
Talking Book Publishing and our after-hours segment, Conversations with the Producer, are brought to you by writersandpublishersnetwork.com and WPNwebinars.com. We hope you are enjoying our podcast. Reach out to us if there's anything that you would like us to cover on future podcast episodes.